EOL. Saturday is World Meningitis Day, and it's a great opportunity to raise awareness about the disease and what families should be doing to stay protected. We're joined now by Patty Wukowitz. She's a registered nurse, director of the Kimberly Coffee Foundation, and co-founder of the Meningitis B Action Project. She joins us today to talk about it. Hello, Patty. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Well, let's start off, I guess, if you could share your family story and the impact that meningitis had on you.
My daughter Kimberly was a healthy 17-year-old high school senior on Long Island in New York. She was looking forward to prom, and she was looking forward to graduation. She was in her last week of school. And one afternoon, she complained of body aches and a fever of 101. The following morning, she had a few purple dots on one of her ankles, which very quickly turned into a large purplish rash, which started to cover her body. And as a registered nurse, I knew this was very serious, and I rushed her to the emergency room. When the doctor in the emergency room told me that she suspected my daughter, Kim, had bacterial meningitis and that the bacteria had infected her blood, I remember being so shocked because I knew that Kimberly had been vaccinated with the meningitis vaccine. And it was then that I learned that the meningitis vaccine Kimberly received at 11 years old and again at 16 only protected her against 4 of the 5 serogroups of meningococcal meningitis. It only protected her against serogroups A, C, W, and Y, and did not protect her against serogroup B, also called meningitis B. And unfortunately, at that time, meningitis B vaccination was not available in the United States to help protect her, and my daughter died. It was devastating, and just 2 days before her high school graduation, I buried my daughter in the prom dress that she didn't get to dance in. And the meningitis B vaccine became available 2 years after Kim died, and that's why I created the Kimberly Coffee Foundation and co-founded our initiative called the Meningitis B Action Project. And I educate parents, adolescents, young adults, and healthcare providers that it takes 2 different meningitis vaccines to be fully vaccinated against meningococcal meningitis. It's called the MenACWY vaccine. That is the more common meningitis vaccine. And now we have the meningitis B vaccine, or the MenB vaccine. So it's very important that parents and young adults know about the 2 different meningitis vaccines.
Is that something that your physician would be aware of and would recommend at a certain age?
Yes, I'm hoping that most physicians do talk to their patients about it. However, some of them are not, and that's why parents need to be proactive and specifically ask their doctors about the meningitis B vaccine. So, you know, instead of just saying, am I or has my child been vaccinated against meningitis, please be very specific and ask, have I received the meningitis B vaccine in addition to getting the regular meningitis vaccine?
Is this young women that get infected most? That seems to be the stories that I've heard. Or does it happen to the boys as well?
Yeah, it does. It does not discriminate. It is most common in the ages of 16 to 23-year-olds. College students are 5 times more at risk to contract meningitis B. Meningitis B is responsible for 100% of our college campus outbreaks of meningococcal meningitis. They're all been meningitis B. And, you know, we're doing a good job with the other meningitis vaccine, the MenACWY vaccine, and that's why we're seeing more of meningitis B circulating. And it causes devastation. It causes loss of life. It can cause loss of limbs if you are lucky enough to survive. And you can have lifelong complications from this disease. It's a horrific disease. And now we can prevent it with these 2 separate meningitis vaccines. And the meningitis B vaccine can be started between the ages of 16 to 23. So I'm just urging parents to have that conversation with their healthcare provider.
Patty, how is this bacterial meningitis typically spread?
It's spread through the exchange of saliva. So, you know, that age group is very social, and their social behaviors, such as sharing a drink, sharing a kiss, sharing food, sharing, you know, when they're vaping, anything that has bacteria on it, I'm sorry, that has saliva on it and is transferred around to other people, that's how it's transmitted. So 15% of the population actually carry this bacteria in the back of their nose and throat. They are asymptomatic, and they do not go on to become infectious. However, they can transmit the bacteria to someone else.
Yeah, these days we're
so
sort of...
That's why it's so important. Yeah.
Yeah, I was thinking, you know, these days we're certain getting a sort of a understanding of how certain things spread, even with the other, you know, the different pandemic that we had going on and how people think about that. So maybe they're looking towards other ways to prevent something like this. It's a tough time, though, between 16 to 23 sometimes. You kind of lose track. You know, you're used to vaccinating up to a certain age, and then they come teenagers, and you think you might be done with this, and also try to coordinate their schedule. So it becomes a little bit more of an issue. You got to be focused on it.
It can be tricky. Yeah, it can be tricky because, you know, kids are sort of out of that pediatric age group, and they're transitioning into maybe seeing a primary care physician. And we can lose those kids, you know, in that gap, you know, transitioning between the two different types of doctors. So it's very important that kids have the information to be proactive and to have the conversation with their doctors about meningococcal vaccination and all vaccines.
Right. Is the Kimberly Coffee Foundation, I mean, that's the mainly goal for what you do. What other things are you doing to also spread the word about this?
So through the Kimberly Coffee Foundation, I have a joint initiative called the Meningitis B Action Project, and it's a joint initiative with another foundation called the Emily Stillman Foundation, and together we work to educate around the country, and we speak to physicians around the country. We present at medical conferences, and you'd be surprised at how many healthcare providers are not aware that there is a separate meningococcal meningitis vaccine. So our work is very important, and we are making headway. However, there's a lot more work to be done.
If people want to find out more about what we've talked about, where's a good place to get some of that so we can focus on it?
Sure. MeningitisBActionProject.org. And they can also follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.